As you may have noticed, Nate's out of town. They left yesterday for Canada, and so they're going to be having a great time up there, I'm sure. And so we're going to have a great time here, too, as we worship the Lord together and look at God's Word on prayer. And so we just want to talk a little bit about that and then look at God's Word some. And so just wondering, how do you look at prayer? When you think of prayer, what are you thinking about? And specifically, have you ever had any problems where God didn't seem to answer your prayers like you thought that he should? You know, sometimes we'll pray and we'll say, Lord, we need this, and it doesn't seem to happen. And so we wonder, you know, what's going on? I've often prayed for safety on the road. Anybody ever take a trip and you pray that God would give you safety on the road? Now, how do you know that's God's plan? As a matter of fact, I've found that we've prayed for safety almost every time we travel anywhere, but God has sometimes answered with things like breakdowns and sideswipes and forgotten kids at rest areas. And so you can ask me later about that. But it kind of looks bad, you know. Why are all these things happening? We asked God to help us, and it just didn't seem to work. Is this in the wrong place or something? Should I bring it down further? We'll try that. Can you hear me okay? Okay. So, you know, why is God letting all that stuff happening? But the interesting thing is, through all of that, through the breakdowns and the sideswipes, God was seeing us through. And so God's perspective was a little different from mine. I was thinking when I prayed that the Lord gives a safe trip, that we'd get safely there without any problems. God was thinking, I'll get you through the problems. And those problems were actually great for me and for the family. You know, they got to see that God actually answers prayer and he changes things, you know. Like when we broke down and I was looking at the engine trying to figure out what was going on, why the car wouldn't start again. And this big old house trailer came along, sideswiped our van, and knocked the mirror off on the driver's side, which means, you know, how do you change lanes, you know? Well, the next exit, there was a junkyard. We went in, and they had the mirror we needed already pulled off of the vehicle, just waiting there for us to buy it. And so we got it on and continued on our way. God provided things like that all the time. And so we need to get his perspective on how all this takes place and what God's plan really is. Sometimes we think of prayer kind of like a genie, you know, in a bottle. You find this bottle and knock it over. You find this bottle and you rub it, and out comes a genie and says, your wish is my command, master. Oh, yeah, okay, so I get anything I want. Well, sometimes we kind of think, well, if I pray, then God's going to do whatever I ask him to, right? Well, not necessarily all the time. He will always answer our prayers and always answer them well, but sometimes differently than what we might have had in mind. And so we need to get God's perspective, not put God in a bottle, but get his perspective on what he says about prayer, and then we'll serve him. And so let's just pray right now and ask God to teach us from his word as we look into God's word and see what is God telling us about how to pray and what to pray. Lord, we pray, Lord, that you would open up your word to us, that you would help us to get your perspective, to see your plan for prayer, what it's all about, and how we can see you answer our prayers more specifically as we pray according to your word and according to your plan. Lord, teach us, and then use us to glorify you. And we'll praise you for these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, well, if you turn to Matthew chapter 21, Matthew 21, we'll look at verses 21 and 22. It says, Jesus answered them, truly I say to you, if you have faith and do not doubt, you will not only do what has been done to the fig tree, but even if you say to this mountain, be taken up and thrown into the sea, it will happen. And whatever you ask in prayer, you will receive if you have faith. Now, when we look at that, it says that if we say, mountain, get out of here, it's going to move. And whatever we say in prayer, it's going to happen. But you notice it says, if you pray in faith. And that's the key. We need to be praying in faith. Now, what is faith? Is faith expecting that God will do whatever my whim happens to tell him to do? That God is going to obey me no matter what I say? That's not real faith. Faith is believing God is God. Amen? God knows what he's doing. Faith is believing that this omnipotent, omniscient Creator God is interested in me and is going to take care of me. And so he's not going to obey my every whim, but I'm trusting him that he'll do what's right. So faith is trusting this all-wise, all-powerful God, even in my situation, that he's going to take care of it just the way he knows it should be taken care of. So we want to look at five steps to praying God's way. And not only will these five steps help us to pray God's way, but they will also help us to get the right answer. And remember, the right answer is not necessarily the answer that you wished you'd get, but the answer that you really need. That's the one you need to get. And so let's look down to Psalms 105. You can look in your Bible or look up front if you'd like. And Psalm 105, verses 1 through 5, it says, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord. Call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the peoples. Sing to him. Sing praises to him. Tell of all his wondrous works. Glorify his holy name. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his presence continually. Remember the wondrous works that he has done, his miracles, and the judgments that he has uttered." So as we look at that, in that first verse there, verse 1, give thanks to the Lord. Call on his name. And that's basically the first point. First step is give thanks. We need to give thanks to our God. Before all else, call out to him humbly, and remember, we're calling out to an omnipotent and omniscient God, someone who knows everything, who is able to do anything and everything. We should be telling him how great he is and giving thanks, rejoicing in what he has done. Now, think about that for a second. We should be rejoicing about what God has done. Do you ever find yourself getting frustrated about what God didn't do? You didn't do this. You didn't do that. How come this? And we get frustrated by what God didn't do. Well, wouldn't it be so much better to focus on what God has done and thank him for that instead of getting frustrated that he didn't do what we wanted? We need to remember, I'm not God. You're not God. So we don't have perfect understanding of what needs to take place. We better trust him and praise him and thank him for what he's doing, what he has supplied. You know, if you're having trouble meeting the bills, you can still thank him. Hey, well, I've got a job and we're getting by. Maybe we need to cut back here or there or something, but God, you're providing, and we just praise you that you're in charge and that you're working things out. So the first step is to give thanks. Then, as we look down to verse 4, it says, seek the Lord. And, of course, that Lord is in all caps. That means it's talking about Jehovah God. Seek Jehovah and his strength. Seek his presence continually. We want to have a relationship with God. So and step 2, after giving thanks, is seek the Lord, Jehovah. Seek to be close to him. Seek a relationship with God. And that's what we need to be doing. We need to be walking with God. We need to be talking with God. We need to be staying close to him. And so if we're going to have a prayer life that really makes a difference, we need to start by thanking him and then seek him, seek his plan. and seek his presence. Know that he's right there. As a matter of fact, he is. He's with you. If you have received Christ as your Savior, if you've trusted him as your only hope for salvation and received that gift of eternal life by grace through faith, then he's with you. He's living in you. And no matter where you go, there he is. Even if you're all by yourself out in the desert someplace, God's still there with you if you've received him as your Savior. And so that brings up an interesting point. If God is with us wherever we go, then he knows everything we're thinking, everything we're doing, everything we're saying. And so as we seek his presence continually, we need to remember he's right there. When last week, when we gave that offhand remark that we probably shouldn't have given, he was there. When we yelled at our neighbor or, you know, gave back evil for evil because somebody did something that we didn't particularly like, God was there too. And so we need to confess our own weakness and sin. And that's another part of our prayer life, is give thanks, seek God's presence, and then as we recognize God is with us, we need to confess that we've gone wrong, that we are weak and we can't do it on our own. And so those first three steps really help us to adjust our attitude. You have to have a right attitude if you're coming to God in prayer, one that's thankful, one that's recognizing God's right there, and one that recognizes, hey, I fail. I need God's strength every day. And so we get in that right attitude and we give him thanks, we seek the Lord, and we confess our own need, that we can't do it on our own. We need him to forgive us and to strengthen us. Well, what else? The next two steps will help us adjust our requests. Okay, first we need to get an attitude adjustment. Now, you might have told somebody else you need an attitude adjustment, but remember, we do too. You know, it's not just them, it's us. And so we need our attitudes adjusted by thanks and seeking God and confessing. Then we need to make sure that our requests are adjusted in line with God. And so how are we going to do that? In John 15, if you want to turn there, John chapter 15 and verses 4 through 7, or 4 through 8. No, 4 through 7. Went back and forth on how much I was going to use of that. John 15, verse 4 says, "Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine. You're the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he's thrown away like a branch and withers. And the branches are gathered and thrown into the fire and burnt. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you." Now here again, here's a promise. If we abide in Christ and his word abides in us, we can ask whatever we want and it'll be done. Now, then we need to look and see, what does it mean to abide? What does it mean to abide in Christ? Abiding in Christ, well, he gives the illustration in the first part of this passage that we were reading. It means to stay connected. Have you ever seen a bush that was all lush and green and everything, but there's this branch that's dead and withering? I happened to see one the other day, and so I grabbed a piece of it. The left side of this rhododendron was beautiful, lush, and green, and then there was the right side that looked like this. What's wrong with this branch? What is it? It's dead, yeah. It's not connected. If it had stayed connected properly, it would have flourished. But something along the line got broken. Either the wood got frozen and died so that it couldn't transmit the juices back up to the branch. Something happened, and it's not getting any juice. Of course, now it's totally disconnected. No hope for that one. But when it was still on there, something had broken the continuity. Okay, it looked like it was still part of the bush. It was still there, but it wasn't drawing on the roots. It wasn't drawing on the trunk. And so God says we need to abide in him, abide in the branch. He's the branch, or no, he's the vine. We're the branches. We need to abide in the vine and not just be there, not just be in church or be with Christians, but to stay connected to Christ. So abiding in him means staying connected to his power, to his life-giving will and word. As the branch, as the vine, Jesus feeds us. And then it says that we need to have his word abiding in us. Now, if God's word abides or lives in us, what's that going to do to our lives? If God's word is living in us, it's going to change us, right? We're going to start to look like what God wants us to look like. We're going to start to do what he says to do. If his word is living in me, it's going to change my attitudes and my actions. And so he says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, then ask what you want and it'll happen. If we're really living in Jesus, if he's living in us and his word is living in us and we are living in him, following his direction, staying connected to him, then our desires are going to be according to his desires. We're going to want his best, his will. And so when we ask whatever we want, it's going to be according to his plan, what he wants for us. Now it starts to make sense. If his word is living in us and it's reflected in us, so we're following him, then God is directing our lives. We're living for him. And if we get a couple of people together and we're praying, or two or three are gathered together, there I am in the midst. And he says, if two agree on earth, it's touching anything, it'll happen, because we're asking for God's will. And the chances are, if you get two people together that are abiding in Christ and they say, yes, this is what God wants, chances are they're probably right. If they're really connected to the Lord, focused on his word, then they're asking for God's plan. And if we ask for God's plan, certainly he's going to do it. If we ask for what I want because I want it, maybe not. And so we need to be abiding in him and his word abiding in us, so that he will direct us to ask the right thing. That brings us to 1 John 5, verses 14 and 15. We need to be asking according to God's word, according to his will. And so in 1 John chapter 5, if I can just find that here, verses 14 and 15, it says, this is the confidence that we have toward him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he'll hear us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know we have the requests that we've asked of him. And so here again, God promised he will give us what we ask for, if we're asking according to his will. How do we know his will? Because we're abiding in him. And if we're abiding in him, then we know his word, we know his plan, because he's guiding us. And so step five is ask according to God's will, because we're abiding. We're living with him. We're living in him. His word is guiding us. And so these are the five steps that will bring us to powerful prayer, where actually what we ask for happens. We don't have to say, well, God will say yes, no, or maybe. If we're asking according to his will, then he's going to do it. But you notice, even Jesus, when he was in the garden, he said, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. He said, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me, but let your will be done. Sometimes we have this desire in our human nature, in our human bodies. We want something. We know, I'm not sure if this is really what God wants or not. I better say, Lord, your will be done here. I don't want to ask you to do something that's against your plan, so you do it the way you see fit. And I pray a whole lot more like that. If it's not something that is right in the word, I pray more, God, you work it out the way you want, and help me to watch and see it. But he says, if we ask according to his will, then not only will he hear, but he'll do it. And so that's just as sure as our own salvation. Just a couple of verses before that, in John, 1 John 5, 12 and 13, he says there, whoever has the Son has life. And whoever does not have the Son does not have life. I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. If we believe in him, if we've trusted him, depended on him to give us salvation, which he paid for on the cross of Calvary, then he gives us eternal life, and he says, you've got it. You can't lose it. No one can take it away. I have given it to you. It's based on God's power, not mine. And so, if we have the Son, we have life. And he's written these things so that we may know that we have eternal life. Just like we know we have eternal life because Jesus paid the price and he gave it to us as a gift when we trusted him and received it. He promises, if you ask according to my will, I'm going to do it. And so we have that same assurance there. If you've never received Jesus, I challenge you to do that. If you have trusted him to give you salvation, trust him to answer your prayers and ask according to his will as you study God's word and know his plan for you. Now, what if we ask for something that might be outside of God's will? That could happen, right? Anybody here ever asked for something that was not quite God's plan for you, where God had to say, nope, sorry, no way, it's not happening? The Apostle Paul did that, believe it or not. The Apostle Paul, the great apostle who preached the gospel all over the then-known world, he had this problem. He had an infirmity. We think it was some sort of a physical illness or something like that. And there in 2 Corinthians 12, and starting in verse 7, he explains that a little bit. He says, so to keep me from becoming conceited, because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations, a thorn was given me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to harass me, to keep me from being conceited. Three times I pleaded with the Lord about this, that it should leave me. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly in my weakness, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ, then, I'm content with weakness, insults, hardships, persecutions, calamities. For when I'm weak, then I'm strong. Now notice he says he asked three times that whatever this infirmity was, this thorn in the flesh, that it would go away. Many people think that it was his eyesight. In one other place he said, I know that you guys, if you could, you'd pluck your eyes out for me to give them to me. So it may be that he had really poor eyesight and couldn't read the scriptures anymore. He had to have somebody else write for him. He also mentions many times, you see that I wrote this in my own hand. You see how big the letters are? Because he couldn't see very well. Maybe that was it. But whatever it was, he asked three times, God, take this away. Give me good sight again. I want to be able to see. I want to see the reactions in people's faces when I'm preaching to know that we're getting through. And God said, nope, you don't need that. I'm telling you what to say. I'll tell you when to stop. You just do what I tell you. You don't need to see it all. You just trust me. Sometimes God might tell us the same thing. You know, we might pray, Lord, this problem is just too hard for me. How am I going to get through it? What am I going to do? And he says, don't worry about it. I'll carry you through. I'll give you what you need. You trust me. And he'll take care of us. And so when we pray for things like that, we need to pray, Lord, I don't know whether you want to heal me or not, but I know that you have a plan for this. And so I want you to fulfill that plan in me. God has a purpose for Paul's infirmity to keep him humble so they didn't get too proud. Ours may be that he gives us an opportunity. I remember one time when I was down in Florida, in Bible school actually, and I used to ride a motorcycle to work. And so this one day I was riding down the beach boulevard, going around the big traffic areas, and I was driving along a four-lane road, stoplight up in front, and the stoplight was red, but it turned green. And so I was in the outside lane. The inside lane, there was somebody there stopped. And so I came up to go past him. As I came up, guy turned left in front of me. He didn't see me because there was a car stopped there letting him go. I didn't see that. So he pulls in front of me. What's he do? Slams on the brakes as soon as he sees me right in front of me. I'm cruising along 30 miles an hour. Wham! Right into his front end. And I actually literally flipped right over my motorcycle and landed on his front end pretty much like that, and then bounced off and realized that my motorcycle was stuck to his fender, so I started pulling on to try and get off. The kids inside, he's going to die, he's going to die. They thought I was going in convulsions. You know, I'm trying to pull the motorcycle off, you know. But I got it loose, and I saw that all that was wrong with my motorcycle is that the front splash guard fender was bent down touching the rubber. Pulled that back up, formed it a little bit, and it was good to go. They had a new car. That was kind of wrinkled up a bit. But I had three or four witnesses came up and said, we saw it all. It was his fault. He got in front of you. He stopped. And even the police, I thought, sure, they'd charge me because I hit him. But he had turned left in front of me. It was his fault. And so they didn't give me a ticket. I don't know if they gave him a ticket, but he basically had to worry about his own insurance. My insurance didn't even have to cover it. But in the process, I got a chance to talk to him. I was already delayed, so I was talking to him a little bit and telling him, you know what, this weekend we got a big concert down the road at that big old Hollywood Beach Hotel. It's now a college. And we've got a big concert there. I'd love it if you'd come and join us there. It's free. Come on down. That Saturday night, there was a concert. I was there, and I saw that guy and his family. And they were going to talk to the president of the college, and he was sharing Christ with them. Now, I had shared a little bit there on the street, but they got the full brunt of it. They got a gospel presentation in the concert, and then afterwards they were talking to the preacher, and that was just so exciting. So, yeah, I got thrown over my handlebars onto this car, but I got to work, maybe a little bit late, but I got there. I was okay. They were okay. Their insurance paid for the car, and they heard the gospel. And I even wrote to them afterwards. They lived up in Bainbridge, Massachusetts. And so I wrote to them for a while, too. God used that in a great way. It wasn't exactly convenient. Wasn't what I would have asked for. I would have asked, Lord, get me safely to work and not have any problems. But God used that problem for a great purpose. And I've noticed that many times some of our problems are to give us opportunities. Maybe you get sick. And God wants to give you an opportunity to share somebody in a waiting room, in a hospital, or at a doctor's office. So God uses those things. He says in Romans 8, 28 and 29, we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good. For those who are called according to his purpose, for those whom he foreknew, he also predestinated to be conformed to the image of his son in order that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. God says, we know that everything is going to work together for good. If we love God, if we're called to his purpose, if we're seeking him, it's going to work out for good. But he explains what the good is. It's not necessarily what I wanted. But no, in verse 29, it says, for whom he foreknew, he predestinated that we would be conformed to the image of his son. Those problems that come into your life, they've got a purpose, to make you more like Jesus or to give you opportunities to show Jesus to somebody. Sometimes it's just to demonstrate that God can carry you through. Sometimes it's to make you more like him, to build your character. And so problems are important opportunities for God to work on our character and for us to represent him to people around us. So yes, things will go seemingly wrong by our perspective. God's perspective, right on schedule. He knew what was coming. He had planned it. He's got a purpose for it. So when things seem to fall apart, what do we pray? Lord, show me what you're doing. Show me what I should do in this situation to represent you and to grow to be more like you. Yes, I didn't like this. It's not convenient. But Lord, you know what you're doing. Help me to use this circumstance for your glory and to become more like you. In Psalm 37, he says, delight yourself in the Lord, and he'll give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord, trust him in him, and he will act. So here he gives us several things that we need to do to get our attitudes in God's way. Three attitudes we need in prayer. First of all, delight in the Lord. Delight in His will. Look for God's plan, not yours. When you find yourself asking for things that may be a little selfish, and I want this, I want that, stop a second and say, wait a minute, Lord, You want what's best for everyone. Help me to fit into Your plan. Delight in the Lord. Then commit your way to Him. Lord, guide me in whatever You want. Do with me whatever You'd like to do. Use me for Your glory. Even if it means some pain, some struggle, some inconvenience, that's okay. You're using me. So delight in the Lord, and then commit your way to the Lord. Let Him guide you, and then trust Him. Even when His way doesn't quite fit your plan. Maybe you had something planned, and that's totally thrown out the window because God just did something totally different. That's okay. He's got a plan that's going to work. So pray, Lord, show me what Your plan is. Help me to fit into Your plan. My plan seems to be going out the window. Let's go to Yours. I've heard some people, I heard a married man once say, pray that it works out with my new girlfriend. You think God's going to answer that prayer? That's not even a prayer I would dare to ask. But I've actually heard somebody say that. Praying in Jesus' name is not just saying in Jesus' name, amen. It's praying what God would pray, what Jesus would pray. Jesus wouldn't pray for a new girlfriend if you're married, you know. He would pray that you work on your marriage and get that straightened out. And so it's guaranteed that God's not going to answer a prayer that's against His will. But if we pray in His name according to His will, then He's going to work out the situation the way it's going to work out best. So are you praying for what God wills? Then He's certainly going to do it. Now, what if you're absolutely sure that this is what God wants and it doesn't quite happen? You know, you just knew that God wanted me to do. Like, for instance, you might be praying, Lord, I pray that You will reach my neighbor for Christ and that they will trust You as Savior. And it just doesn't seem to happen. What's going on? Well, we don't need to complain, God, You're not doing it. Sometimes it takes Him a little longer than we had in mind, but we can ask for wisdom and direction, right? We can ask for Him to use our problem or our delay to glorify Him and help us to grow to be more like Him. So if things don't quite work out the way you think they should, and you thought, well, you know, He certainly is going to do this, maybe He is, but maybe it's going to be in a little different way or a little different timing. So how can we start applying these five steps in our prayers? How can we actually make that work in our lives? Well, let's say you get a serious illness. You can think of whatever particular problem you might have, but this is one that often comes up. Maybe you get cancer or something like that, and the doctors don't know quite what to do. And so what are you going to do? Well, we can use these five steps in praying about that. First thing, give thanks. But I've got cancer. How am I going to thank God when I just found out I've got cancer? And it's inoperable. They can't do anything. It doesn't respond to radiation. What are we going to do? Well, you can still thank God. You can thank God for all the years of health that you've had so far, right? We've had many years so far. We can thank God that He's exposed the problem and that we can deal with it, and maybe there is something that can be done. But we can also thank God that He's our God, that He's our Savior, that if I die, I'll be with Him. What's so bad about that? So thank God. No matter what the situation, thank Him that He is working things out and He is helping you to grow in the process. Oops. So we thank Him for the years of health and for exposing the need. Maybe there is a treatment that we can get. The next, seek Him. Seek Jehovah. And that means we want to ask them that we can stay close to Him for comfort and guidance and healing according to His plan. He may have a healing in store for us. And it may be just the way we had in mind. Maybe it might be different. But we can seek to stay close to Him. When you get in that situation, you know what I found sometimes when a problem gets rough and you don't quite know what to do and it's not quite working out the way you want, sometimes we get our attitude misadjusted. And we start to get mad at God and say, well, if he's not going to do what I ask, then forget it. I'm going to go someplace. And I'm in a bad mood, and so I'm not even going to church. And we start to pull away instead of drawing near. What do you need when things are going wrong? You need to get closer. You need to draw near to God and to his people. Let them encourage you. Let him encourage you. And so give thanks and then ask him to stay close. Seek to be close to Jehovah and to seek his presence. And then as we get close, we need to confess. Maybe we confess, hey, you know what? I'm weak. I'm scared. I want to run from this. I don't want to embrace this illness. I want to run away. Lord, take it away, quick. I need your strength. And sometimes we need his strength for years. My grandmother had cancer as long as I knew her. And she had had several operations. She had her hips replaced, and she had aluminum hips. I was afraid she was going to rust when we went to the ocean, you know, because I was a kid. And I said, Grandma, don't get in the ocean. You're going to rust. No, she didn't. But she lived her whole life like that. God didn't take away the cancer, but he used it. You know, everywhere she walked, she'd be walking like this. And you'd see her do that, wincing as she'd walk along. But you know what? Her pastor was able to use her life as an example to everybody else. When they said, oh, I can't do that, I'm not feeling so well, he'd say, well, look at Alice. She's fixing the flowers, and you see her wince? She's still in pain. But she's working for the Lord. She's doing what God wants. And when she goes to the hospital, she's sharing Christ with people there. So he used her as a great example. And so we can confess, yes, I'm weak. I'm scared. I don't know what to do. I want to run from this. Take it away. But in the end, Lord, give me the strength to stand with you and help me to run away from any sin that might be tempting me to run, to get away from you. I want to run from sin to Jesus. And then we want to abide in Christ. How are we going to abide in him? We're going to read and obey God's word every day. We're going to stay close to him by reading it and by doing what he says. And then also, we can use our opportunities to share Christ. If you've got an illness, you're probably going to go to a doctor's office. And I don't know about you, when I go to a doctor's office, generally, I don't walk up and say, hi, I'm Rick Hurdle, and they say, oh yeah, right in here. I don't ever hear that. It's okay, sit right over there, and we'll be with you shortly. What does shortly mean? It means about an hour or two, you know, unless they're in surgery, then four, you know. But hey, there's other people sitting there too, wondering what to do. What are you here for? Oh, I've got cancer. Hey, you know, me too, you know, because you're in a cancer ward, maybe they're going to have the, and maybe they're not dealing with it very well. Maybe they're really scared. What am I going to do? What if I die? Glad you asked. I've had to face that same thing. But you know what? God has given me hope in Christ that if I die, I'm going to be with him because he paid for my sins. He's given me eternal life as a gift if I would just trust him and receive it. You know, you can do that too. If you trust him, he'll give you eternal life. He'll forgive your sins. He'll give you a place with him forever. And I don't know whether he's going to heal you or take you out of this life, but you can be assured that you'll be with him. That might be an opportunity. So abide in Christ. Let him use you as you stay in his word and as you use opportunities that he might give. And then ask according to God's will. Now, what do we ask according to God's will when we've got something like cancer and we don't know whether he's going to heal us or not? Well, we can say, Lord, I want you to be glorified in this problem. And whatever the problem might be, maybe it's your car is broken down, whatever it is, Lord, I want you to be glorified in my problem. Whether I'm healed or have to suffer a lot of pain, Lord, use me to bring others into your family. Strengthen me to represent you well and become more like your son Jesus. If you're seeking God's glory above your own comfort and your own convenience, then God's going to do great things. So give thanks, seek the Lord, seek to stay close to him, confess your weakness and your sin, abide close to him, and ask for God's will. And you will see your prayers answered in some great ways. God's kind of leader prays God's way, Not just, Lord, gimme, gimme, this is what I want, but Lord, use me to glorify you and to bring others to you. God's going to use us to bring others to him, and he's going to use our circumstances in the process. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you so much that you loved us enough to die for us, to give us eternal life as a gift, to give us the assurance that if we trust you, we have eternal life and no one can take it away from us. You've given it to us as a gift when you paid for it on the cross and we received it by faith. Then, Lord, you promise that in the same way, if we ask according to your will, you'll hear us and you'll answer. You will give us what we've asked if we're asking according to your plan. Lord, help us to learn to stay in your word and know what your will is and then pray according to your plan, that you can do great things around us and people can see you at work and be drawn to you as well. Lord, use us for your glory, and we'll praise you and we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.